Welcome to the Reuters 2010 World Cup podcast, where the times, they are a-changing. Ghana's hopes turned on a simple twist of fate, and Brazil got tangled up in blue. Ghana against Uruguay, so near but yet so far, Felix.
Yesterday watching the players coming out from the dressing room, you could see that, you know, it was very, very difficult for them to accept the results, being so close to, you know, making history. And it was very difficult for them to talk. They wouldn't talk in the first few minutes. They had to, you know, go around the tunnel a couple of times before, you know, a couple of them stood, and, you know, it was very difficult for them to take questions. Pansy was almost, you know, he was fighting very hard to hold back tears, and all they could say was, you know, just hard luck. We don't know what happened, and it's history, it's fate, and we'll try to pick ourselves up and, you know, continue from there.
Okay, so hard luck. It was hard luck, but it was also unfair, could we say?
I think we absolutely could. I mean, it was. Let's say, first of all, it was great drama, because you can't imagine such a dramatic ending to a World Cup match as that. But unfair, yes, absolutely, it was unfair. Effectively, Ghana had scored the winning goal. It just got punched off the line, and then in the end they end up losing. I think there is something basically unfair in that, and you would wonder if FIFA shouldn't think about changing the rules where there is a clear goal that is going in, is disallowed because of some misdemeanour that close to the line, then whether they should just not award a goal or give a penalty without a goalkeeper, which is one idea that's been suggested.
What would you say, John? Can you see that happening?
I'm hardly a traditionalist, but I kind of have an uneasy feeling about changing the game so that you codify a law where you gift a goal to a team. I mean, I was in the crowd of whatever it was, 90,000 last night. It was the most dramatic finish that I've ever seen to a football match, yeah. Bar none. It wasn't the best football match. I think Felix would agree with me. It wasn't a great football match for 119 minutes, but by goodness, what a great finish. And the penalty was almost the icing on the cake. We were, I think a lot of people in the crowd were behind Ghana and willing that ball to go in. Yeah. And it was just great, great drama. And to actually say, in the future, we just gift the goal, I think
it's not a gift, is it? They'd scored a goal. The gift was taken away. I mean, the gift was Ghana had actually, that ball was heading for the net. It was stopped illegally. You know, you can't say that's a gift if you give them a penalty or give them a goal. That's not a gift. That's a rectification of justice, which surely we should be looking for.
But what worries me is, how do you codify that law? What, you know, if he hadn't been on the line, if he'd been 5 yards out and he'd still handled the ball, would you then say, OK, the referee should gift it? Give the goal?
They do it in rugby, John. I don't think this is a difficult one. You know, if it's a certain goal is being denied, and that was about as certain as you could get, I don't see any difficulty in codifying a law to do that. I really don't think that's a problem.
So just at the referee's discretion, you wouldn't say that it would need a video referee to
I'm all in favour of video referees, as you know, Kevin. That's another. I think, you know, we've seen in this World Cup there are a lot of wrong decisions given that could so easily be cleared up. You know, going back many years, we could have had the hand of God cleared up if video had been allowed. I do think FIFA are really so far behind the times on this one, and that at some point that really must come.
OK, one more thing to talk about on that game was, of course, the coolness of that final penalty by Abreu. Have you ever seen anything like that in a World Cup? We've seen some famous missed penalties, haven't we? Again, like the Guyane one that we had. But
John Mensah tried it. He didn't make it. Abreu steps up and he did.
I think if it comes off, it looks so cool, doesn't it? If it doesn't, you look like an absolute idiot. So I don't know. It's a tough one to do.
I think you've got to tip your hat to him. I mean, he was under such pressure. Anyone who was in that crowd would have heard the booing and the noise as he stepped up, and he still has the courage to do what he did and just chip the ball over the keeper. I thought it was very classy bit of work.
Yes, I think one thing that perhaps we'll come back to remembering soon is, although Ghana was sort of carrying the hopes of a continent and probably most of the neutrals, we do actually have a plucky minnow into the semi-finals. A nation of 3.5 million people are back in the semi-finals for the first time in 40 years. Against the Dutch, it perhaps isn't impossible that they could even compete with the Dutch.
Well, yeah, they could. I mean, Uruguay have a fantastic history. You know, it's a small nation, but what a soccer history they have. And in some ways, it's, you know, I, like most neutrals, as Kevin said, I would have wanted Ghana to win yesterday for Africa and for the romance of football. But Uruguay coming back is a romantic tale too.
Okay, this brings us neatly on to yesterday's podcast when Mr. Paul Radford was vehement in his opinion that the Dutch would fall into the Brazilian trap. Didn't quite turn out like that, Paul, did it?
No, I'm going to have to own up here. I was wrong. And you don't often hear me say that, but I'm going to say it now. I do think the first half, it really did look like Brazil were going to sweep Holland away, and I thought they were falling into that trap. But I think something went wrong. I think Brazil got ahead too easily, really. They got an offside goal that was pretty marginal, and then they scored all within the first 10 minutes. And I think they relaxed. They thought this was too easy. And it was Brazil who fell into the trap in the end. And luckily that the Dutch weren't playing in orange, or you wouldn't have been able to do that Bob Dylan reference at the start, Kevin.
Yes, it all worked out rather neatly for me, didn't it?
I mean, the bottom line, Kevin, is that this was not a vintage Brazilian team. I think they flattered... I mean, they did play well against Chile, but after that... before that, rather, they weren't that impressive, and they certainly weren't that impressive in the second half. I thought the Dutch deservedly beat them. This is not a vintage Brazilian team, and I'm glad personally, in many ways, that they're not going to join, you know, some of the teams of the past that have won the World Cup, deservedly so.
Okay, well, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We have two more quarterfinals today. Argentina against Germany is the first one, followed by Spain against Paraguay. Argentina-Germany, impossible to call, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say that's a very close one. I think certainly, you know, at the start of this, everybody was saying Argentina, they're going to be in the final, so are Brazil. Well, Brazil have gone. I wouldn't see it as impossible. Argentina couldn't follow them. This is a young German team with a lot of zest, a lot of technical and tactical know-how. I think they'll give Argentina a lot of trouble today. I think that one is a 50-50 game that's too close to call.
And Germany came through a very, very tough match against Ghana at the end of the group phase, didn't they, where they had no more margin for error. You were quite impressed by the Germans that day, weren't you?
Very, very impressed. And I still see them, you know, going through and, you know, beating... I mean, it's going to be a repeat of the last World Cup when they met at the quarterfinals level. It might go past the 90 minutes, but I see Germany coming out.
OK, Spain v Paraguay, finally. Can anyone see Paraguay pulling that one off?
I think it's unlikely. I think Paraguay will be very defensive. They'll try and stop Spain playing. They'll probably be looking for a draw on penalties, and let's hope that doesn't happen, because then we have a very poor game. But I think Spain's flair in midfield and their attacking strength, and David Villa is on fire at the moment. I can't see him not scoring today. So, yeah, I see Spain going through this one.
It does look like being a Spain win, but we have seen some strange things at this World Cup. None stranger than Paris Hilton finding herself on unfamiliar turf and mistakenly believed to have had altogether the wrong kind of grass.